Well, good morning. One of the things that we're doing is you sort of seeing a road theme and the journey theme that's beginning. We have a few Sundays before we embark on a bit of a family adventure together. One of the things that I'm thankful for is that we don't have any COVID restrictions anymore. And you remember COVID? You remember that thing that happened? COVID? And the reason I bring that up is because in 2019, just before COVID kind of kicked off, we had got to the point where the church was full in the summertime to the point that we started two services. We had a Saturday night service and a Sunday night service. And so then COVID hit, and you couldn't have more than 10 people within 100 feet of each other or whatever the rules were. And so things thinned out a little bit. But God was gracious to us. We continued to minister in so many different ways online, and people came back. And, you know, we did our best to continue ministry, and God was gracious to us in that. And then as soon as the COVID restrictions kind of lifted, and last year was kind of the first full summer that we went without COVID restrictions in 2023, and we jumped again already to being at capacity. So God has really blessed Lakeside with the number of people that have come. And I know it doesn't look like it this morning. You know, there's an empty row here. There's an empty row there. There's a few empty seats as some parents come back from dropping off their kids. But the numbers that we have this year are higher than we had last year. And the numbers we had last year in the summertime were over 220 people. So that's adults. I'm not talking kids. There's like another 60 or 70 kids on top of that. So all of that to say is that the reality that we're facing, even though it doesn't look like it quite yet, in 4 weeks, God is going to bless us again with all of these people coming back to church to be their summer church through the summer. And so as part of God's family then, we are kind of embarking on this journey with God to something that we tried before, and we're trying again a little differently, but we're going to go to two services starting on July 30th. And June, sorry, I get the J's mixed up. I'm really dyslexic with the J months. They should have separated them in the calendar. Why are they right beside each other? But June 30th, we're going to go to two Sunday morning services. And so we have to kind of embark on an adventure with him. It's a 17-week long adventure. And the reason I say it's 17 weeks is because the numbers did not decline until after Thanksgiving, which, again, praise God. We have all these brothers and sisters that are worshiping with us. We have all these people from the community that are coming to find out how they can become brothers and sisters with us. And God's family is an ever-growing family. That's the reality of being part of it. And God's been bringing us these people, and these new brothers and sisters, these soon-to-be brothers and sisters, week after week and month after month. And so June 30th is 5 weeks away. So over the next few weeks, we're going to look into God's Word, and we're going to consider what it means for us who are here now, who are, as we've just talked about, part of God's family, brothers and sisters that are called out on this adventure together with God. And we understand that it's a journey into a bit of the unknown, that we will have to stock up on some supplies, we'll have to prepare for the journey. We won't know all the twists and turns and detours that we might take along the way on this journey as we go to two services on Sunday morning. There may be even a flat tire here and there. There will be some unexpected joys as well, and God will show us as a church things that we never would have saw unless we stepped out in faith with him in this way and joined him on this journey. And so just like a road trip, we're going to be doing things a little bit differently than usual. Everyone's going to have to pitch in to help. We're going to be meeting new people. That's especially important. God's purpose in this journey is for us to meet new people and welcome them and invite them to travel with us as we go. But to start with, there's one very important point that we want to keep front and center, and that's what we're looking into God's Word for to confirm today. That above all, that as we go on this journey and as things may be difficult here and there and you don't necessarily get to sit in the exact same place or with the same people that you saw before every single Sunday, if we embark on this journey with God, above all, the reward is worth the journey.
If God calls us into something new, God calls us to follow him, if God has prepared ministry work for us to do, the reward is always worth it. And so this morning, we're looking into God's word and understanding reward in the journey of faith. Now, we often hesitate to think of the Christian life and Christian ministry as one that is lived for rewards. If you're a Christian and you're thinking, well, I'm doing this for the reward, it seems very calculating. It seems very mercenary. It seems kind of anti-gospel or insincere to think that we would seek God or serve God or journey with God for the sake of a reward. And we know that, and we never preach, that the Bible promises physical health or big bank accounts or winning the dance competition or the junior hockey championships just because we trust in Jesus. God does not reward us in those ways necessarily. But at the same time, as we might be hesitant to think of rewards and know that God is not just a giant vending machine in the sky, you know, trying to pour out on us blessing as we ask it, at the same time, when we read the Bible from cover to cover, God is not ashamed of reminding us of the great rewards that await his children. God is unashamedly a rewarding God, and God wants to be glorified as a rewarding God. And so it doesn't help us, and it's not particularly virtuous of us to try to downplay the generosity and rewards of God. In fact, God has rewards built into his blessing to us so that we can be enthused and excited that he is a God who does not unfairly reward people, but over-rewards his people, and he'll be glorified as such. So let's look into God's word and see how God calls people out to journey with him in the expectation that our reward will be our joy and his glory, and how that might apply to us as we journey in our adventure that we're starting on this summer. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that everything that we do here starts and ends with your word, that we would not claim anything, motivate ourselves, cling to anything, hope in anything that isn't in your word. And so even as we, you know, do some very, seems like practical, pragmatic things like go to two services or start this ministry or stop that ministry, it's always done because your word says this is how we live and this is how we are to walk as Christians. And so we look at you this morning as a God who rewards, and that the reward is always worth the journey that you call us on. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So, of course, the greatest journey that God called any person to or anyone to and serves as the archetype of every Christian's walk with God is the very first covenant journey of Abraham. This is how he got it all started. In Genesis 12, 1 to 6 says, "Now the Lord said to Abram," he was called Abram then, if I go back and forth between Abraham and Abram, you'll forgive me. "Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So we know the big picture of the Bible, right? We know that God wants a big kingdom. The big story of the Bible is that God is collecting and creating for himself a nation of people to call his own. God wants to rescue people out of the sinful world that we created in our fall and restore a gigantic nation of God worshipers on the earth and ultimately in heaven. He wants to rescue us. And so with that in mind, God says, this is how I'm going to do it. He says to Abram, just as he says to us now, this is how I'm going to get my big plan rolling. Abram, I'm sending you on a journey. My kingdom family is going to grow through your family. So I'm calling you out into the unknown, Abram. But notice, if you take this journey, if you trust that I am the God that I say I am, you will be rewarded. He outlines it here. He says, you will be blessed. You will be protected. You will become great. You will be a nation if you join me, if you follow this journey. And by the way, we discover that God is going to be glorified in the process of blessing and rewarding Abram. And so God says, go. Go, Abram, and I will make you a big nation, and that will glorify me. And he does that through Abraham. And God still says the same thing and does the kingdom building that he's going to do in the same way today through us, his church. The journey that God called Abram on is the journey that he calls his disciples and his church on. The new nation of Israel. What is the family commandment that Jesus gives his disciple at the very end of his ministry? It's going to sound familiar. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And so God said, Abram, go, and I'm going to make a great nation, and I'm going to build a kingdom out of who you are and the blessing that I pour out on you. And Jesus says to his disciples, go into all the nations, and I'm going to make a new nation of God worshipers. Baptize them, and look, I am never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. I am going to be with you the whole way, just like the Father said to Abram. So he is calling us, always calling his people out into this journey to build his kingdom. But back to Abram, God says to Abram, leave your country and leave your mom and dad and leave your aunts and uncles and leave the big extended family behind and head out. And Abram, you don't know where you're going yet on this journey. You don't know where it ends. But if you go, I will guard you and I will make you a great nation. And through you, my blessing will flow to all the other families and all the other nations on the earth. And so you can see right away that when God calls Abram to journey, the reward will be worth the journey. Abram sets out because of the promise of God, right? He doesn't go to Abram and say, set out on this journey. Things are going to go terribly. You know, you're going to end up, your nation's going to end up in captivity for 400 years. Basically, it'll be a bit of a disaster for a long time. That's not what he tells Abram. And Abram probably wouldn't be all that enthused to do the journey if that's what God said. And God knows that's our heart, right? When he calls us, he knows that he's calling us into blessing, that we need that reward, that to follow God is not some sort of self-sacrificing, you know, martyrdom, but that it is for the promises of God, that he is a God who promises. Because who doesn't want to see their family flourish? If God came to you and said, if you will go, if you will trust me, I will make your name great, and you will have a family, and you will be blessed, and I will protect you, and I will bless so many others through you. Who doesn't want that? Who doesn't want to see their family flourish? Who doesn't want to be a blessing to the world? And so God says, that's my glory and your reward, Abram. He doesn't call us to follow him in some fruitless or purposeless sacrifice that has no reward. God calls Abram and us to a journey where his glory is also our reward, and the reward is always worth the journey. So what does Abram do? Well, we wouldn't be here talking about him if he didn't start the journey, we're told. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. So Abram doesn't go alone. God doesn't say you have to go out and do this all by yourself, Abram. He takes his possessions, he prepares for the journey, he brings along some helpers, he brings along some family. And that's like us too. God isn't calling us out as lone wanderers to do this journey on our own. He's given us a family. He's given us a church. He's given us provisions. He's given us helpers. He's given us the gifts of the Spirit. In our church here, we get to journey on this journey together as he calls us out into the world, and even as he calls us out onto this, you know, little mini adventure of two services over the summer, to see the kingdom grow here in Halliburton. But the key thing here to take away is that Abram went. God said go, and Abram goes. Abram went because he trusted God's promise. He trusted that the reward would be worth more than the journey. And God can be trusted to never shortchange us. God is never holding out on those who step out in faith to follow him on the journey he's called us to. Trusting God is trusting that he is a God who fulfills his rewards. And again, I say, we don't often think of it that way. We don't think of trusting in God as the God who's going to reward us. But even as we see this first covenant call to Abraham, we see that it is loaded, baked in with rewards to Abram for trusting God as a God who fulfills his promise, as a God who rewards. Hebrews 11, it's known as the great chapter of faith. And if we look at what Hebrews 11 says about faith, we realize that faith is an absolute trust that God's reward is worth the journey. Here's the opening verse of Hebrews 11. He says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." Now what's left out there is, what are the things? We have assurance, we're certain, we have absolute trust that things are hoped for are going to happen. But what are the things? What are the things that we are hoping for? This verse doesn't tell us. But they are, in fact, the reward of trusting God. Faith is absolute trust that what we hope for is going to come to pass by a God who rewards us. Where do I get that from? The answer to every question in the Bible is just keep reading. Hebrews 11:6. "For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." That's faith. God's expecting your trust in him to be a trust that he is a rewarding God. God is expecting to be glorified as a God who rewards. He expects the nation to look at Christians, look at Israel in the Old Covenant, look at the church in the New Testament, and say their God is a rewarding God. God's not going to get shortchanged on his glory that way. People are never going to be able to say to God, look at that God, he shortchanges all his people. Look at that God, he doesn't reward faithfully. Look at that God, he doesn't keep his promises. That is not our God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and he rewards those who seek him. You must have faith that God rewards the journey. He never calls us out expecting us to be the martyrs, expecting us to be the ones that are sacrificing, expecting us to be the ones who are giving up. God is the one who has sacrificed. He is the one who has died for our sins. God has paid more than he ever asks us to pay. He is a rewarder of our trust. And that's what Abram believed. He believed in God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. He believed in the reward. He trusted that God was not just toying with him. God was not yanking his chain. God was not planning to abandon him. Despite everything that went on in Abram's life, despite the setbacks, because the reward didn't seem to be right there in the moment, he was looking forward to a future reward. He trusted God was a rewarder, even if it didn't seem that way. The chapter goes on in Hebrews 11, because this is important. Just keep reading. "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance." You see, he trusted that he was going to get it. He trusted that reward was there. And so he went out, not knowing where he was going. And by faith, he went to live in the land of promise as a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Now, there's a lot going on there. What's going on in this paragraph here that the writer of Hebrews makes? What we learn here is that Abram goes on this journey in faith, trusting that the promise, the reward, is really there for him. But notice, it's a future reward. He goes out in faith to live as a foreigner, in temporary lands, in tents, even as his family is growing with, you know, Isaac and Jacob, and this blessing is going to extend out as he goes and journeys in faith. His family is going to grow, and God is going to bless him, and it's going to grow, and they are going to be partakers in this reward, but it's all in the future. So his faith continues in the journey because the reward of God is in the future. Verse 10 brings it home. He says, "For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God." And so Abram's like, "I don't see it yet." And that's how we'll feel when we're on our journey with God, whether it's your life journey with God, whether it's our journey as a church, whether it's this particular initiative of two services. We can get it rolling, and it may look really temporary and really kind of shaky for a little while. And we might say, "We don't get it, God. Like, we're still living in tents. You promised me a whole lot more than this." But Abram trusted that God is a rewarder, and he was looking forward to a city, not living in tents, but a city built on foundations, built by God. And so he left his city And he left to live in tents for a little while because the reward is worth the journey. He was looking forward to that reward. And if he chose to live in tents for now, then there was a future city for him whose designer and builder was God. And so we see how that works. We have to believe that God is there and that he is a God who rewards those who seek him. And if we trust that God is a rewarding God and in faith we embark on this journey with God like Abram did, and we don't know where it ends and we don't know what's going to happen along the ways, and we will find ourselves, figuratively speaking, living in tents or at least coming to church at a different time, and things won't be quite the same, and children's ministry is going to be different, and we'll have to help in ways we weren't expecting and won't be quite as comfortable as one service used to be. But if we are confident that God is calling us on this journey, here's the point. The reward is always worth the journey. God has something in store for us if we step out in faith. The reward of a bigger kingdom, a bigger family, more brothers and sisters, more glory to God if we step out in faith in this way. Now, for Abram, the promise became a nation of millions. I'm not ready for millions. That's a lot of extra services when we only seat 260 people. But as God calls us to follow him, as God calls Lakeside to step out in faith into new territory that's maybe a little uncomfortable, that's maybe not surrounded by all of our normal comforts and normal friends and normal family that we're used to seeing, I do want us to be ready to be rewarded. Maybe not rewarded with millions, but maybe hundreds, maybe even someday thousands will say that they were rewarded by coming through and being blessed by the family of Lakeside because they came through these doors, because they encountered Lakeside and there was new opportunity for them to participate, because we made space for them, because we were a little uncomfortable, because we stepped out on a little bit of faith to make room for people and to engage with our community, to welcome them and speak God into their lives. And I don't know how many it's going to be, but I know that the reward will be worth the journey. Maybe Lakeside can only do a little bit to bless the nations of the world, and we do bless the nations of the world, but maybe Lakeside can bless a lot of Halliburton. Maybe God can use us to grow his kingdom here if we trust that he rewards the faithful. What I know for sure, whatever the impact of our growing into two services is, the reward will be worth the journey. The reward will be worth the temporary inconveniences and the extra effort. Well, you might say, that was the Old Testament, Paul. What about the New Testament? You know, that Old Covenant stuff, God rewarded works in the Old Covenant because it was all under the law and the law of the covenant of works. Does God still operate that way? Well, let's just quickly just confirm that God is still a God who rewards in the New Testament, aside from what we read in Hebrews about Abraham. First of all, Matthew 4, 19 to 20 says, and he said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. So does Jesus still operate as a God who calls people out on a journey and expect them in faith to leave what they had behind and to in faith trust that he is a rewarder? I mean, that sounds right. That sounds like God saying, hey, get up and go. Come and follow. The people that he chooses saying, okay, we'll go. So the calling is still there. How about the rewards? Well, if you get near the end of the Gospel of Matthew, you find Peter asking this very question. He says, see, we have left everything and followed you. What then will we have? And so Peter's like, this is still like a risk-reward thing, right? Like, we still trusted you. You're still going to reward us, right? That's still how God operates. And Jesus says, oh, yeah, absolutely. He says, truly, I say to you, in the new world, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my name's sake will receive a hundredfold and will inherit eternal life. He says, absolutely, you're going to get rewarded. Is it right now while you're living in tents, while you're laying your head on a rock and following me around Israel? No, it's not right now. But there is absolutely a reward that's worth the journey of trusting in me. Jesus says, you will be rewarded. He never held back from teaching about the rewards of God's promises to those who follow him. Consider in almost every parable, Jesus defines the Christian life as one of a life lived in reward. In the parable of the vineyard workers, the reward of salvation is a full day's wage. In the parable of the maidens, the reward is a marriage banquet. In the parable of the talents, the reward is putting put in charge of many things and sharing in the master's happiness. In the parable of the sheep and the goats, the faithful are rewarded with a kingdom. In the parable of the servants, the faithful servant is rewarded by being put in charge of the master's possessions. In the parable of the silver talents, the trustworthy servants are given authority over cities. Jesus says to his disciples, store up for yourselves treasure in heaven. And he says that by living in him and abiding in him and trusting in him, they will bear more fruit and much fruit. Jesus tells his disciples that he's going to prepare a place for them. He basically never stops talking to his disciples about how they're going to get rewarded. Jesus' message to his followers are, trust me, go on this adventure trusting me and you will be rewarded. So there it is again now in the new covenant. In the church age, God calls us out to follow him, join him. And it will look risky from our perspective because we have to give up what is safe. We may have to give up some income, some comforts, face some hostility from the world. But what we risk will be rewarded because God is a God who rewards. And the Apostle Paul, as usual, is helpful in confirming what Jesus taught his disciples. He says in 1 Corinthians 15, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. In other words, you're not working for nothing. You're working for reward. He says in Galatians 6, 9, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So keep doing good. Why do you keep doing good? Because you're a martyr? Because God asked you to give up your life and get nothing back? No. Keep doing good because you will reap a reward if you don't grow weary of doing good. And then he says in Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. See, it's all there. God is a rewarding God. God's not going to let anybody take that away from him. He will reward as we trust him. So here's the question. Do we believe this? Do we believe what the Bible tells us about God? God says, this is who I am. I am a rewarder of your faith. As you step out and trust me, you will be rewarded. Your labor is never pointless nor fruitless. Your sacrifice never goes unnoticed. God repays more than we can ask or imagine. Do we trust that God will bless us as we seek to follow him? Well, on July, June, I even wrote it down, July. Wow. I told you I'm dyslexic with those months. On June 30th, we will begin to find out. And we have four Sundays between now and then. And in those four Sundays, what I want to do as a church family is lean into what it really means to be part of God's growing family. What it means to live in some temporary discomfort. To step out in faith with God. To say, you know what, I'm going to come to church on a different time. I'm going to, you know, do some work in the nursery or lead the children's large group, or I'm going to be a greeter or pour coffee, or I'm going to help park cars in the parking lot, or I'm just going to do something a little different on this journey that God has us on, because I know that whatever I labor in, whatever I give up, the reward is always worth the journey with God. And so for these 4 weeks, we're going to talk about how do we serve together? How do we spur one another on? How do we build one another up? How do we lay aside provisions for each other? How do we support one another? How do we journey with God in this? And we'll also think about what the journey is for. What is the purpose of this journey? It's not for no reason. It's not a road to nowhere. It's not an aimless wandering. We are doing this and we are doing good so that we can reap the reward. We're laboring for the kingdom, not in vain. And so we'll talk about how this journey involves welcoming others to join us, to share the gospel, to make disciples, to grow the family for their salvation and for God's glory. And just like any family road trip, we all got to pitch in a little differently. We're not going to sleep in our normal beds. We're not going to sit in our normal chairs. We're going to have new tasks to make sure that everything is done and ready for everybody who's journeying with us. And we'll have some detours and some bumps, but God will open up new vistas to us as a church. The reward is always worth the journey. C.S. Lewis writes, "Indeed, if we consider the unblushing promises of reward and the staggering nature of the rewards promised in the Gospels, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong but too weak." We sometimes just expect too little. And God's like, "I want to reward you, Abram, disciples, church, Lakeside, I am a God who rewards. So let's step out in faith and trust that God is a rewarding God, and that if we don't give up in doing good, we will reap the reward." Let's take up this challenge. Let's trust our God as a rewarding God and glorify Him as a rewarding God. If God wants to be glorified as the God who rewards those who trust Him, then let's do our job and trust Him and let Him be the God who rewards. Let's pray. Father God, we're thankful that this is who you are, that we come every Sunday just to learn a little bit more about who you are. And this Sunday, you are a God who rewards. You are faithful. And we can have assurance in the things unseen. And so we don't know what the rewards are. We don't know exactly how they're going to come to us, but we want to step out in faith as a church. But then that calls each of us as individuals to step out in faith together with our brothers and sisters, to join you in this calling out into a journey, to open up our family that it can grow. The brothers and sisters and new brothers and sisters can come and join us here in Haliburton, and that your name will be glorified and people will see that you are a God who rewards faith. So, Father, we pray for courage, pray for wisdom as we do it, we pray for provision, and we pray for faith, that we will trust that you will reward our faith in you. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.